near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio talking football this week, we've got Aaron Walker. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you, Eamon. How are you?
Good to have you here, Aaron. And alongside Aaron...
Hey, Nate, did you hear that the Socceroos are going to the World Cup?
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, Nate, did you hear that the Socceroos are going to the World
Cup? What is going on with the Socceroos going to the World Cup? They've been to the World Cup. And with alongside Aaron is Paddy Bourdier. Paddy, how are you?
Hey, excellent, excellent. I'd like to think of Aaron and myself as the Terra and Aloisi combination of radio.
Yeah, well, so who's the slowest?
No. Paddy, about to
don't
fall
go
over?
There.
Surely
yeah.
Neither
that would
any
be
good.
No.
But still, devastatingly excellent.
Excellent, of course, both of you. Now, flanagan.eamon@gmail.com is the email address, and you can catch the podcast on nearpost.blogspot.com, and, of course, we're on iTunes and halftimeheroes.com, and we're streamed live on 2xfm.org.au. Show dedication this week is, of course, to a young man, well, not of course, but to a young man, part of the Young Socceroos, is Mustafa Armini. Scored a wonderful goal in the Young Socceroos game overnight against the UAE to make it 2-1, a great dipping volley from outside the box. He's a young man, 17, who can actually go to the next World Cup with the Young Socceroos. So they qualified overnight. So dedicate the show to Mustafa and his teammates, the Young Socceroos. The quiz question this week is, how many Central Coast Mariners youth are in the Young Socceroos team squad? How many Central Coast Mariners youth are in the Young Socceroos squad, and can you name any of them? So over to you, Paddy. Give us a number.
Well, there's got to be a couple.
There has got to be a couple.
Push four. Just on the basis of the quiz question alone, I'm going to go to three, thinking that there can't be too many more than that.
Okay, Aaron.
Well, I know the answer. It's four.
Oh. So there you go. Tom Fitter's four.
You guys obviously don't follow Laurie McKinnon's Twitter feed.
No,
you know
no.
What? I don't follow Laurie McKinnon's Twitter. Is it one to get on?
I pick it up on the Daily Telegraph site. They just have a list of Twitter feeds down the side. But I read that quickly. It said four Central Coast Mariners in the side.
Well, obviously, if you want to get the answer to the quiz question, Laurie McKinnon is the Twitter feed to follow. Now the next question. Did Laurie tell you who they were?
Yes, he did, but I can't remember.
Okay, well, it's the goal scorer, Mustafa Armini. It's also Sam Gallagher, and the other two are Nikola Stanjevic. And the fourth one, whose name escapes me just for the moment, but it's Mark Warren, of course. Lucy Zelich's player to watch.
Favourite
player? One of my favourite players. Yeah. Okay, so there you go. That is the quiz question. And I've got another quiz question for you because I thought that was a little bit difficult. Yeah, I thought this. Name the player or any of the top three players who have had the most shots in the O-League.
Most shots?
Yeah. Most shots, like, you know, when you shoot, Paddy?
Yeah, I understand the concept.
Okay, you got it now.
Although I didn't do so much of it myself during my career.
No.
But I do understand the concept.
Okay, so you can give me any of the top three. Who's had the most shots? I won't ask you for the total number of shots, but any player who's had the most shots in the O-League this season. Aaron, I'm going to go to you first. If you get one of the top three, you are a near post legend.
Okay, who's up the top? Adelaide, Brisbane. So let's go with someone from there. I'll go with Van Dijk. Must have a few.
Van Dijk has had a few. He's had 22 shots, but he's coming in at number 6, probably because most of his shots have gone in, so he hasn't had to shoot that much.
I don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to go Matthew Leckie, as he is often an answer to quiz questions.
Not the ones that I would set, Paddy, of course. Mm. The answer is Carlos Hernandez with 41 shots, and 39 of them have gone out of the stadium, and one has gone into Rose Z, and I think one hit the post. But Paul Eiffel, and surprisingly to me anyway, is Thomas Browich. He's on 23, Paul Eiffel on 26.
Really?
Yeah, I think that must be a misprint, but anyway, yeah, there you go. I've got a whole heap of stats. If you want any more stats, effective tackles, we can have goal assists, shots on target, the whole lot. So just come back to me anytime you want.
I'm sure Hernandez will be coming to you for those stats. They're horrendous.
They are horrendous, and yeah. No,
when's the last time he scored a goal? It's been
Paddy, that's not part of the quiz. We can't. That's too hard.
Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing asking those sort of things.
Difficult questions. Okay, the news. Socceroos defeat Paraguay 1-0 with a goal from David Carney. The West might have to wait another year for Sydney Rovers to kick a ball. We'll probably have a chat about that in a moment. And in the West again, different West this time, David Mitchell moves upstairs. We didn't know that any A-League club was rich enough to have an upstairs, but Ian Ferguson takes over as Perth shift Dave Mitchell. Robbie Fowler may be stuck in England, and Fury's Ufuk Tully. Hope so, because I don't know why, because Robbie's about the only guy Ufuk could catch these days. But anyway, so Robbie may or may not be back. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Meanwhile, the fallout from Friday's heated Melbourne derby continues, with Hearts striker Gerald Seaborn outed for 2 matches for assault on a player, according to the FFA. Victory's Grant Brebner. Surely it must have been the other way around. But anyway, the Heart won the derby 2-1. Harry Kuehl moves through the media with the greatest of ease. He's all over 4-4-2. And, of course, Fozzie gives him 15 minutes free airtime. And Robbie Slater and Mike Cockerell get a bit back, although they aren't named, but we know who Harry is talking about. The Young Socceroos, as mentioned, are through to the Asian Cup semi-finals and, of course, the 2011 World Cup in Colombia. After downing the UAE 4-2 after extra time, they play Saudi Arabia in the semi. Socceroos prospect Aaron Moy has accepted an offer to join SPL club side St Mirren, and Eric Okoto has announced his decision to retire from international football. In the W League, Claire Polkinghorne is the Aussie Women's Player of the Year, and Sam Kerr is not only an Asian Cup goal-scoring sensation and winner, she's also the Australian Young Player of the Year. And Canberra United have announced midfielders Grace Gill and Jennifer Bissett will return for their third season with the club, as do the Sykes twins from Dubbo, Ashley and Nicole. And there is rumours of a 27-goal, 50-capped American US striker might be on her way. Listen to the Near Post to learn more, no doubt, as the weeks go on. Any news that caught your eye this week, guys? Anything that...
Well, just to back us up just a step, you said that Eric Okoto has retired from the national team. I remember reading a while ago that after the shooting that happened over in during the African Nations Cup they were involved in, Eric Okoto was on that bus which got shot. Someone actually died during that. The squad was considering retiring en masse and letting a new wave of talent come through for the Mali national team, and just getting away from it all because they're all still a bit in shock over it.
That's
so
right.
I wonder if that actually happened.
I don't know the answer to that, Aaron, but I know that they talked about it at the game last week when he was playing. They were saying they were going to make a decision. So whether this is part of that decision, I don't know. I just saw it in isolation. We'll have to find out. Okay. All right, now, the Socceroos played Australia, the greatest team in the world, took on Paraguay. We attacked it. Everybody was happy. There was
attack,
players
attack,
galore.
Attack.
Attack, attack, attack. Don't be fooled by what you saw, because the media saw it as attack, attack, attack. And that's what it must have been. We won 1-0. There was goals. There was the headers flying in. There was two up front. Never happened under Pimba Vague, apparently. Aaron, were you happy with how we played?
Yeah, I was. I think, obviously, as Harry Kuehl said in the media afterwards, it's not perfect yet. It's still a new system they're learning, but you can see the way they're trying to do it. The fullbacks push right up into the box. That's how David Carney scored a goal. You'd have never seen that until quite recently. And instead of two holding midfielders sitting right in front of the back four, you see them at least taking turns and getting forward, creating a small distance between our lines of attack, which creates more options.
I thought, those first 20 minutes, Paraguay bossed the midfield. I thought we were very vulnerable. And I don't think that we really started to get much impact in, even with our attacking fullbacks, until we got some set plays in the box. When we pushed them. And I think that that's maybe the benefit of having Cahill and Kennedy up there. And I wasn't crazy impressed with the Socceroos. I didn't think it was a major departure from Viduka's, and I didn't mind Viduka's reign, but I didn't think it was a big, big departure. And I was really surprised to see, say, Cockerell et al.'s reports about this attacking Socceroos. I didn't quite see the same match.
No, I don't think... I don't know why to mention Mark Viduka, I don't think we play Mark Viduka and Josh Kennedy, Tim Cahill. I don't think you can compare what Viduka did and how he played for the Socceroos with how Josh Kennedy played. I mean, Josh Kennedy is not capable of holding up the ball in the same way.
He's more of a goal scorer himself rather than bringing
that's right.
Mark Viduka was really fantastic at touching and bringing other people in the game. He'd have worked fantastically next to Scott McDonald.
Yeah, I think he would too.
Yeah, he probably would fantastically next to Josh... Josh Kennedy as well. But, I think my concern was, one of my concerns, apart from Ilya Jednak's display in the central midfield, I mean, crikey, the guy's got touch. You know, I mean, the touch just goes, you know, how you can keep the ball or not with Milly Jednak in there, it's just not possible. His touch is just so poor for international football that I think we will get shown up time and time again. I mean, it was a friendly. Paraguay looked to me like they came for a few photographs of Sydney Harbour. They had about half their squad from the World Cup. How did we go? Well, we only, as Paddy said, I think our best chances were from high balls into the box. And with Kennedy flying in, Cahill coming in behind or Jednak behind, and really that's, you know, yeah, we didn't do too badly, you know, as the game went on, and we were probably more attacking than we have been in recent games, but this was a game that didn't really matter. And I think, like some of the games under Pimba Baker, I would argue we were just as attacking against Qatar at home, Bahrain, Uzbekistan, where we scored 3 or 4. We put Kennedy up front, we put Cahill in behind, and Emerton down the flanks, and you know, we got three or four goals, and yet people, the bait was highly criticised. I'm yet to be convinced that it's early days, as Aaron said, not just Harry, but Aaron said, and I think, and other people criticised, why didn't we bring on Brosk and Mackay earlier? And my thoughts are that this guy probably knows that he's got Holman and he's got Emerton and Carl Valeri sitting out there, and he's probably thinking, I've got, you know, my team on the park, 11 or 12. I've got another three who are Milligan, possibly, who are around.
Sporanovic as well.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's a whole... And there's
the
a few...
Yoli Roos and the under-19s are all as well.
Tommy Orr and Lecky, yeah. And you think, well, we'll bring... So, you know, you're talking at Brosk and Mackay, and you think, well, he's probably seen them all week in training. And, I mean, people, I think people forget that the guy works with them all week. You get a fair opinion of how... Who's hot and who's not. And you know...
To be honest, I think he was always going to have to choose a few A-League players for the first couple of squads, because the FFA would have given him the drill. They would have said, well, Pim Verbeek never really chose the A-League players. It really got people down, so it's going to make a big impact on your reign as coach if you start by picking a couple of A-League players.
Yeah. That's a good point. Another good point, well, not another good point, it's a point I'm going to make. So it might not
well,
be good.
We'll be the judge of that point.
Yeah, well, that's good. we've only had 19 players in the squad, which is intriguing to me, because, one, I think it shows another sign of the FFA's wealth or health. 19 players in the squad, maybe, Aaron, the fact that we've got six A-League players is because we're really reducing our costs. You know, I've never heard of a Socceroos squad or a national squad where we only have 19 players,
yeah,
normally.
You know?
Yeah, and we've been doing that ever since the World Cup, so that's got me a bit concerned. The other thing that's got me concerned about the financial health and wealth of the FFA is Robbie Hooker. Now, Robbie Hooker, the former Canberra United coach who got sacked after a year, wasn't good enough to keep coaching, despite getting them to the final. He is a Socceroos assistant. He's also the Matildas assistant. Right. So it's a surprising appointment. Holger Essex, a part of the contract, he has to have two Australian coaches. Now, we've got Rudy Vidmore. Mm-hmm. We know where he's come from, you know, with his Adelaide background.
And he's appointed Steve Hooker as the second, is that true?
Yeah, Robbie Hooker's the second.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, so the thing to me is like, well, why would you do that? Because it seemed not, say, to denigrate Robbie Hooker, but it just seems he's not in the men's game. You know, Van Egmond's been moved from Newcastle into the AIS. It seems quite a strange appointment. Unless, of course, you look at it from the point of view that he's Matilda's assistant, add on another 20, 30,000 and he can do both jobs. Saves us a bit of money.
So a summary of your good point is that it's a cost-cutting expedition.
That's what it is.
We're saving the pennies.
The second coach doesn't really matter in the scheme of things, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
And what about the North Queensland Fury? Of course, they've been told they can't sign any players for next season. All of a sudden, there's agents and other clubs are all over their players after the October 1 deadline to talk to them about contracts.
Problems there, and problems in Western Sydney as well. I mean, they're talking today that the FFA might be trying to save their money in North Queensland to put their money, because they didn't have to save Newcastle Jets, so they may put their money into West Sydney. But it all seems a bit, you know, wishful, rumour mongering thinking. I think the Western Sydney bid's gone personally for this year. You'd have to think, wouldn't you?
I'm getting worried we're all going to have to set out our cake stalls and get our money for the FFA.
Well, I think the FFA, we obviously, this show comes from the studios of Canberra. The FFA already owe us lots of cake stalls, mate, from them. They let us down badly. So we could have been, you know, we could have had that money, the extra 1.5 million that we needed in the time that Western Sydney had been faffing around. But there you go. So what do we learn about the players? Harry Kuehl, should he stay, should he go? Mille Jednak, you're happy with him? And the two at the back, Jade North and John McCain. Couldn't get a game when he's in the A-League. 3 days after going from Wellington Phoenix, he's in the team. Woohoo!
Kuehl, keep. I think he's a really class player. Still got the best touch in the team. He might be a bit slower, but there's still a role for him to play in the Socceroos. It might not be out wide.
I think you're right, Aaron, that point about touch. We don't have any players. I saw him play one ball on the weekend and I thought, wow. You know, after the ball pinging around for 20 minutes and you thought, well, thank God Harry can just...
And you can tell the Paraguayan defenders still double-teamed him, so they obviously can still see something in him.
And I agree about him not playing out wide, and I thought, and I don't like to sing Tommy Orr's praises because basically most of Australia do, but I think one of the things Tommy Orr is very good at is crossing the ball, getting into a little bit of space, crossing the ball, and we really needed that.
You did right, Paddy. He's fantastic at crossing the ball, but you know, if he was crossing the ball for the Socceroos on Saturday, we might... Well, he scored. He crossed two balls for the young Socceroos, they're now off to... So what would you have? Would you rather have him dancing around in front of 25,000 at Sydney Football Stadium against Paraguay, who are on a tour of Australia and New Zealand, or getting the young Socceroos to...
Well, no, obviously that, but I'm talking in the long term. We're talking about who we would keep in the squad, and I think, yes, you keep Harry Kuehl, but you don't play him in that position. That's more of a Tommy Orr kind of position. But, Aaron, where would you play Harry Kuehl? I was thinking about this, because you kind of lose him because he's going to play, Olga's going to play Kennedy and Kale. He's almost committed to that up front.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see Kale sitting behind strikers. His touch is good enough to turn balls, put the balls through to the strikers and be more of a creative player than a goal scorer.
Not a lot of pace in that three, though, if you did play that three, particularly away from home. And I think that's always a worry.
And what you kind of need with those guys getting onto the ball is a goal poacher. You need somebody to get onto the ball as it runs free.
Hang on, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're going to have more attackers on the field than we've ever had in the last.
This is my thing. Yes, I keep Harry Kewell, but where does he fit?
Well, maybe he's a bench player.
Left back, maybe. He's not a bench player. Don't say that. He is far too good to be a bench player.
Well, then you drop Kennedy and you change the team.
Well, I think he's committed to this team. I think that's the way he wants to go.
Yeah, I don't know. No, he didn't play Kennedy in the game.
Do you want to play him on right mid so that he can cut inside?
No,
I think Harry's either up front with Cahill or out left. I think they're probably... Yeah, I mean, Aaron, behind the front two is an option, perhaps, as his career goes on.
It's a very slow attack.
But I do like Brett Holman in there. And, you know, he brings a lot of energy that we don't... You know, well, we need it. You know, we need to look for the future. But anyway, Harry keeps his place in the squad. Millie Yadnak, should he keep his place in the team?
I think he's interchangeable.
He's definitely interchangeable. And the two back two is John McCain, Jade North.
I think it's just a temporary lineup, just through lack of other players available. And, Lucas Neal was out. We saw that he likes Matthew Sporanovic, and so do I. So I think that's the long-term pairing.
So did anybody do their case any good?
Oh, yeah. Well, they kept a clean sheet. You can't argue with that. But I think they...
But of the guys that we don't know, like McCain, North...
Oh, okay. You know, I was going to say Carney did his case.
Tried and tested. They're all tried and tested. North's been tried 1,000 times.
Yeah. He's I like Jade North.
He's a good A-League player.
He's good, but I didn't see anything in his recent performances that justified a place in the Socceroos squad.
No. Yeah, he hasn't played, has he? Other than for a couple of games for one in terms.
Sporanovic has the chance to go on to be a really good player and have a really good career. And I think that's
And there's also, hopefully, a space for Kantorowski as we...
Well, apparently he's been one of the standout players in the young Socceroos organisation. So, yes, hopefully. But he's still got a way to go before he gets to Socceroos level, I think. But, okay, so on with that. More Melbourne derby. We reflect on that. The first derby in Melbourne between... in the A-League, anyway, between Melbourne Heart 2, Melbourne Victory, losers 1. Aaron, did you see the game?
Yes, I did.
Absolute belter, was it?
It was. It's rare that a game of such magnitude lives up to the occasion, but this one really, really did. Your eyes were glued to the screen. There was chances up either end. Both teams going hammer and tongs at each other. It was an absolute delight to watch.
I loved it. The crowd was into it. You know, the establishment of the Victory were beaten by the new boys. I loved everything about it.
I did too. As a frequenter of many Glasgow derbies, it had everything. It had players sent off. It had about 27 bookings. It had the flares on the field. It had goals from the oldest man, Aloisi, or whatever. I mean, it had everything, didn't it?
And a crowd atmosphere that was as good as I've seen in the A-League.
Yeah, that's right. I'd say as good as you see anywhere around the world, really. I mean, it was fantastic, wasn't it? Right close to the pitch. Why there was 5,000? I had a friend who went to get a ticket and he couldn't get a ticket, but there were vast numbers of empty seats, 5,000, and they were in blocks, so I don't know what was going on there.
Well, I had tickets and I had to pass them up because when they moved the game, I couldn't get up there anymore.
So there
would have been a whole lot in my situation. They need to sell at the last minute. And
corporate tickets also.
The AFL, bring us down again.
But, you know, the A-League season, dare I say, it starts now. This is a good starting point. We don't have to compete with League and AFL.
The rumour's always been that the FFO had saved their marketing budget until after the two grand finals, the other respective codes, so now they're really going to start pushing
budget of $10.99.
I think it should be more than that because they talk about $95 million revenue for the FFA, and they reckon they spend, I think from memory, about $35 million in the first few years. Now they're spending up to over $45-46 million on the A-League alone, which is incredible. They must be putting it all into clubs because there's no other revenue. I know they spend money on travel and TV money, I suppose, contributes some of that revenue. Mm-hmm. But still, it's...
You're running a youth team as well.
Yeah, that's quite expensive, and that's maybe the W League, although I think that's separate. But, we'll see the marketing budget goes up now. So we've got the weekend coming up. We've got North Queensland Fury versus the Perth Glory. Robbie Fowler may be too scared to return to his old club at this rate. We'll have a quick chat about some of the games coming around this weekend. Melbourne Victory versus Sydney, Brisbane versus the Jets, Gold Coast Adelaide, Wellington Phoenix, the Heart. I'll start, I guess, with the Fury-Perth Glory clash. What are your thoughts on this, Paddy, the Perth fan?
I'm a bit worried.
You're a bit worried.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried because only that Fowler is just gone for a bit of a visit to England and back,
It's the back bit that you're worried about, isn't it?
Yeah. This is true. Hopefully he does, fingers crossed. But Perth Glory in a slump, and this is a long road trip for them.
Why are they in a slump? I mean, they started so well.
I don't know. And there may be a bit of fire in their bellies after sacking Mitchell or moving him upstairs, whatever. But I think North Queensland are going to take this. I think they're fired up.
Yeah, they're a good team to watch, aren't they?
I mean, they really are, and Perth don't seem to have heart at the moment. Very sad to say. And those ageing legs will feel the heat up in Townsville.
Okay, Melbourne Victory. Aaron, you couldn't get to see the game live last week, but this week it's Melbourne Victory Sydney. It's at Etihad Stadium. Both teams, you know, got to the grand final last year. Both teams in a bit of a pickle this year.
Yeah, well, we've got the very rare occurrence in any league in the world where the team that got the wooden spoon last year is on top and the team that won it last year is on the bottom. So if that finishes like that at the end of the season, which is a distinct possibility at the moment, it'll be something quite rare.
I think Sydney are the best bottom-placed team in the world. I mean, I don't think they're actually that bad if you're watching the last three games, and there's not many teams bottom of the table playing as well as them.
Look, I know a few Sydney fans that'll talk about the tactics, what's wrong with the tactics or the injuries or this or that or players in different positions, but I think by far Sydney's biggest problem right now is the belief. They're fine when they're ahead, but as soon as something goes wrong, as soon as they get a goal scored against them or the momentum changes, you can see it in their face. They don't believe they're going to win.
I think you're right, and I think it's interesting. I was talking to somebody during the week who said they were offered Ian Ramsey or suggested that they should keep Ian Ramsey because they had no pace on the left-hand side. Bross doesn't like to play out left, and he was seen as a player with a bit of pace, a bit of flair, often, you know, doesn't do the right thing with the final ball, but they let him go. And I mean,
Payne as well.
Payne is another one as well, yeah.
And then they've hung on to Gann, who I feel is hopeless.
And why
Ryan
Grant,
who is also hopeless.
Well, Ryan Grant, I mean, in fairness to him, he's younger, he's a young soccerer. He must, I mean, you know, I'm a bit with... He's got a lot of energy. Hopeless. I don't know, I'd like to say... He's got an opportunity, he's got a lot of energy. Brendan Gann is at the next stage. He's gone beyond the sort of young soccerer's level, but he's not doing anything better than Ryan Grant, so why would you keep...
I'm at a loss to explain it. And what's more, over the off-season, I was really looking forward to, you know, Levitka having a chance to mould Sydney as exactly he wanted it. He got rid of... And disappointingly, nothing was done with it.
Colosimo and bring in Fox?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I don't think... Well, he didn't have a choice there. In fairness, Colosimo wanted to go, so...
There were options for him to take. He could have searched for players to fill that role.
Mark Hughes that's been brought in by the North Queensland Fury. For me, he's been the best defender in the A-League so far, and so he was obviously available. I'm sure Sydney could have outbid him. They had room under the cap.
Yep. I mean, Hayden Fox is a strange...
North was out there at the time. Look, there were players. They just didn't pick him up.
No, well, they haven't really picked up... I mean, I can't believe Hayden Fox is on a big wicket either. No, I can't...
No.
I wouldn't think so.
Anyone could have told you that watches the A-League regularly that he was not going to be able to replace someone like Simon Colosimo, who was so central last year.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay, Sydney to Melbourne. Who's going to win that one?
I think Melbourne will win it. Sydney just don't look like they're going to win it.
Okay, what about just a note on...
I think Melbourne are going to be hurting after that defeat.
Ricardinho, he's played up front a number of games now. He scored one goal through somebody's legs, which apparently was a brilliant goal. But
no, it wasn't. It was for Brisbane. I saw that. It was a
Divya,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Divya. But what do you think of him? He's leading the line for Melbourne and...
Don't like him. I think Sydney's player they've picked up, Kazarin, is doing a much better job. He looks really lively.
Yeah, he's
Importantly, Ernie Merrick loves him.
Ernie talks up his players always, which a coach will.
He's been talking him up in terms of how he performs in training. He says if you can match it,
but Paddy, he
really will be one of the key players.
When the Victory get Archie Thompson back, I don't think we'll see a whole lot of him.
No, they need to be quite...
For those 2 weeks before his knee goes.
They need a couple of wins before Archie gets back, and then hopefully Archie can lift them up the table. But Paddy, it's always said that you were good in training as well, but we won't go there. Now, Brisbane Roar versus Newcastle Jets. Newcastle Jets haven't signed Franny Jeffers. They haven't signed Darius Vassell. They haven't signed anybody yet, but apparently they're still trying to sign a striker. Brisbane Roar, they're not so hot in the goal-scoring streaks either.
They're coming good. Brisbane Roar have played... For me, they've been the best team this year. I know Adelaide are top, but for me, watching Brisbane has just been an absolute delight. And Postecoglou's got playing some fantastic football, and it's going to click soon. I tell you what,
it has been clicking, hasn't it? They got the result at Perth, and they beat the Heart 4-0. So they have got that momentum.
If they had Gjelic from over at Perth, who can't get a game for Perth, that would be fantastic, because he's a fantastic poaching striker, and Perth aren't even using him.
No, fair point. Okay, so Brisbane at home to the Jets. Gold Coast Adelaide is possibly one of the well, possibly the Clash of the Round, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, it's a very tough game. Mm-hmm. Adelaide don't have their full contingent. Flores is, I think, injured. They might try and play him.
He's crocked. Lecky's away.
But Lecky will be away. It's going to be tough for the the team at the top of the table.
But the veteran, can we say that? Travis Dodd, the veteran is back.
Did you see him coming on the game off the bench? He looked a little bit of Charlie Miller in it.
Travis takes a long time to, you know, he has problems with his lung capacity, I think, doesn't he? And he's a big boy. And now that he's, you know, getting a bit older, he's going to struggle, I think, with the old pace. But, good to see him back in the A-League. Who's going to win that one? Gold Coast, Bruce Gitte is under a bit of an injury cloud as well.
I fear it'll peter out into a draw.
Yes, I think too.
In front of about 2,000 fans, I guess. And then Wellington Phoenix versus Melbourne Heart. New Zealand drew 1-1. Shane Smeltz missed a penalty in front of 18,000 fans, which was a fantastic crowd, actually. It's one of the biggest crowds they've had for football in New Zealand for a long time, apart from the Bahrain game. But the Phoenix, they're playing Heart this week at home.
I think you'd be crazy to get tip against Wellington at home.
My friend Evan, who listens always, says Wellington Phoenix, they are the team.
Well, they are the team at home, aren't they? Evan is definitely... He should be on the near post.
He's in his car listening to us.
Well, he's in the wrong place. But Melbourne Heart, obviously, without Jerry Sibon, will have to rely on the pacey Josip Skoko and John Aloisi. But it might give a place for Kalmar, the young guy.
They'll have Aloisi and Terra up front. I think that's a reasonable pairing.
Oh, okay. It didn't success.
And Sibon will be probably replaced by more forward...
There's been a lot of talk of Sibon. I don't think he's that good a player.
You don't think
he's
that
good? It's great to watch, though.
Oh, lovely.
The midfield. Yeah. I love it.
Wanders around like he's not interested. He's got okay touch, but more...
If he had speed, he'd be dangerous. But the thing is, he doesn't have it.
I don't think he ever had it.
Sometimes he gets to the ball, it's beautiful, and other times he's behind the pace.
So Melbourne Heart, they had their win. Is that what you're saying? It's Wellington Phoenix, they're going to take it at home.
If nothing else, the Heart will be fired up that they can now compete in this league.
Okay, there it is. Aaron Walker had the last word on the near post, and thanks for listening and thanks for being here. And if you are going to the near post with Paddy and Aaron,
get there first.
Yeah, and don't get there until it's time.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there, get there. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there, get there. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there, get there.